Brother Coffee to come and deliver to us what God's delivered to him. Somebody came to me before service and said, somebody told me that before you can repeat what God has told you, you have to have confirmation of three people. If that were the case, I would never preach another message, you know. We hear from God, folks. Amen. You know, if my wife came to me and said, hey, listen, I want you to fix the garbage disposal, I'd say, well, if two other people come to me, glory to God. So I'm excited about hearing what God has for us. Amen. Would you welcome Brother Coffee?
Praise the Lord. Anybody know we serve a good God? A little bit. Amen. We've had a lot of confirmation tonight about what we're gonna learn about tonight. Let's start in Luke 10, if we could. Luke 10 and 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Do you know the enemy is under my feet? Every lie he speaks is defeated by the power of the blood. And the word of my testimony. I'm going to keep reading here, but I'm preaching on hope tonight. I'm preaching to two different types of people tonight, but we're going to learn a little bit about hope. But I'm in the shower getting ready for church this evening, and the scripture just came to me. I beheld Satan fall from heaven like as of a star. Anybody get any hope that the enemy's already underneath your feet? Right. I'm not even going that route tonight. I'm not talking about defeating the enemy. I'm not going that route, but that just stuck in my mind tonight. If you keep reading, it gets even better. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is in red if you're using an app. This is Jesus speaking to this 70 who've been just ordained to go out and administer the gospel. And in 20, we learn that Jesus says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Preaching about hope tonight. If we don't have hope that our names are written down, or we're pressing towards that mark, what are you building? You building a boat that's going nowhere? My second text, real quickly, is going to be in Colossians 1. Colossians 1 and 25 tells us, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. You know, this is a real, and I'm going to read one more scripture, but this is really rich, because we're talking about mysteries. It's been hidden for ages. We're talking from Paul, Saul, who's writing out of the church at Colossae. I mean, there's just so much buried in this scripture, talking about how it's hidden, and now it's been made manifest. And he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. If you study out Saul, he learned what he would actually suffer for the kingdom, and he was ordered to go and be the minister to the Gentiles. We find that outpouring in Acts 10, one of my favorite scriptures stories. But in 27, I'll read again, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why didn't it say Christ in you, the guarantee of glory? You see, there's something to be said about hope tonight. Why didn't it say Christ in you, the assurance of glory? And by glory, glory to glory, glory in heaven. So we're preaching about hope tonight, but I want, as we get going here, I'm going to pray for this service, but I want you to get the picture, really, of what is your hope? What are you building? If you would pray with me. Jesus, take us this evening in the middle of a week. We're tired, Lord, but pour into us, Jesus. Pour through me as a broken vessel that can do what you would have tonight, Lord. Share your word and let hope come alive, Lord. Build new hope. Bring the broken and give them hope in tomorrow, Jesus. Take those that have hope, Lord, but recalibrate it to be aligned with you, Jesus. Let your hope come alive in us that we could build disciples in this community, in our families, and all that are far off. Jesus, we ask you to do a thing tonight in our midst. In Jesus' name. Please be seated, lay down, run a lap. I'm a little giddy tonight, so you're going to get a different version of me, but I can't help it. I don't know what's wrong with me. If I look like I got hit by a truck, I feel like I did, but man, Jesus is good, and we're gonna press on tonight, and I hope that you can really leave refreshed and renewed in Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we could do, Brother Svatik, are you up there? Can we do the quotes? I don't know if you want to do Helen Keller or Martin Luther King. I brought a whole bag of goodies tonight. Oh, okay, so the TV's off. Sorry. So, and if maybe you could turn that on for me, that would be great, please. So I have two quotes here. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. If you've ever seen me up here, I've talked about MLK a few times. Look, hope's a tricky thing. And I'm going to go into definitions of hope and faith and expectation. And we can go to the next quote too. But hope is tricky and here's where I'm going to take you. Your actions, your body of work, tell me your hope. You see, what you're building, where you're going, your body of work, the things you do actually tell me. And I'm not saying me, they tell us, they tell the body, they tell Jesus your hope. The second quote is, optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. A person who, by the world standards, overcame and accomplished probably more than anybody, at least physically, basically every ailment of the senses. I can't even imagine functioning. But yet, this is something that if someone in this world said, I'm hopeless, they're going to look up people like Martin Luther King and Helen Keller. And this is actually why I brought it to you. Today I'm preaching to two different people, or two different groups, I think. The first group is, you feel like there's no hope. There's the term where I grew up, I don't know if it's shooting ducks in a barrel, but that's the term where I grew up, you know, it's like shooting ducks in the barrel, and if you get the picture, the ducks in the barrel and how easy, and some people say shooting fish in the barrel, I don't know, you could probably do this all day with insert animal here. But that first group I'm preaching to, you feel like the duck. There's the old quote that some days you're the mosquito and other days you're the windshield. You feel like the mosquito. I'm preaching to you tonight. Christ in you should be completely your hope of greater things to come. The second group this is a tricky group. This is a harder group. You have the hope. You have the hope. Maybe things are going great in the world. Maybe things are going well. In everything that matters as far as the measures of life. But maybe your hope is a little bit out of true north. Maybe it's a little bit misdirected. I'm sometimes in this group. I'm in this group. This was born out of me at times waking up and thinking, I'm in that group. So I'm not going to come down on anybody hard. Probably shouldn't have to say that, but this second group it's hard. It's a tricky group, and if you do this thing and go, that's not me, just give me some time. Let's go through a recalibration of our hope in greater things to come. To get into the mind of one that's hopeless, and building upon the quotes that I put up, I actually Googled, I need hope. Because I really wanted to dig in this. And frankly, when Pastor Sunday morning, I think, said, hey, would you like to speak Wednesday? I had nothing. I had no sheets of paper. I had no lesson plans. My little black book of scribbles was void of ideas. And I was up here, I think I was praising Sunday morning, and I have an interesting perspective to be able to watch. You know what I'm talking about. You can see the posture. I'm not judging. I'm not preaching at you. But I started to get the picture because I was kind of in a spot where I thought, man, I need to press through. You know, I was hitting the ceiling and I wasn't getting where I needed to go. And there's something special about the Villarreal. I didn't get permission to talk about people. So of all the people I'm going to talk about tonight, I'm sorry in advance. But I got the picture of, I was up here doing my praise singing. I got the picture of dancing on a street of gold with that guy. And the scripture, Christ in me, the hope of glory, came to mind. And the reason this entire thought was born just in the last couple of days was because when I get there, man, my praise gets good. When I get there, is anybody else with me tonight? Is this okay? When I'm in a spot to where I come and it's like, man, I feel like my head's going to blow up. I haven't felt good all day. When I get there, I press through and I find the Holy Spirit come alive in me so I can lift my hands and say, I'm going to praise you even if I don't hear from you. I got the picture and I thought, man, Christ in me, why am I dragging? Amen. Anybody knew me 10 years ago? Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I'll go back to the paper because, man, I am way out in left field. But I Googled, I need hope. And I went to, man, don't do this. Okay. So lessons from a guy trying to put together a lesson real quick. I got to Psychology Today. Jesus, help me. And I got to, I'm not trying to get out of the book, and I'm not trying to be all against the word here. I'm building a story. And I went to another site called Life Hack Something, okay? I did really quickly a scan. Because there are 7 billion people out there, and if 100 people are hopeless, 99 of them are going to go do that. So I wanted to get into the mind to say, hey, when I'm walking down the street and somebody's completely hopeless, where's their mind? Okay, so this is why I went to Google. I'm trying to get myself out of the pit. And I have 5 bullet points that I pulled up. Consider the wonderful things that I have done in my life. 1, you can fact check me. This is the second Google search. 2, surround myself with optimism. Okay, drum roll. 3, allow inspiration in. So read books and listen to music. 4, spend time in nature. Nature is boundless and you will see new possibilities. And 5, be courageous. Take a first step forward. And the fourth one, spend time in nature. I think they a little bit hit the mark because we learn that we will understand and have the revelation of God's existence from the beauty of nature. So they a little bit hit the mark. There's a little bit of church in 4. But the 4 bullet points other than this one were about me. Consider the wonderful things that I have done in my life. What am I going to do when I'm taking my last breath? Am I and my wonderful things going to get me anywhere? And I'm not coming down on self-help. I'm not coming down on self-help resources. If this is your line of business, I am not coming down on you at all. In fact, I think there's a place for counseling. There's a place for these types of resources. But it's not about me. When I say I need help, it's not about, I'm going to consider the great things I've done. Lord, help us. So I got some help for you. I got a couple of bullet points from you. Here's one of them. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. This is from the psalmist in Psalm 130 and 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Brother Eric, if you could put up Romans 5 and 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What allows the love of God to spread? His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And we just read, Christ in us is the hope of glory. If we want to take the book, every scripture from front to back, we basically have to take a step back. And I'll give you some more. I think at the bottom of the chart, it says the Lord Jesus is our hope. We're going to go to that scripture in a little bit. But I wanted to add a few bullet points to what the world, when they Google it, comes up with, because if you continue to read scripture after scripture about specifically the word hope, like it says up here in 1 Timothy 1 and 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. I have a thing that happened to me yesterday, and I try and be very careful because I don't like to bring names or the office or people or companies to this sacred desk. I want to do this as a story, as a life lesson. But I want to be careful. Yesterday, I was meeting with a managing director from one of the world's largest consulting firms. So it was an honor. I had no idea why we were meeting. But if you're driving through a big city in the business district and you see the big towers with the names, and I'll give you the list, the McKinsey's, the Accenture's, the Deloitte's, these types of consulting firms, the managing director of one of them, which will not be named, but it's one of those top five, like they're in the deals of all the deals. We were having a meeting. I didn't know why we were meeting. I had a reason. It was a subject, but it was just a topic. I didn't really know if I was helping, if I was coaching, if I was guiding, if I was listening, if I was in trouble. Okay, so my earlier meeting in the day was running a little bit late, so as this gentleman, as he approached my office, I was needing to go use the restroom because I had been locked in a room for a while. And so I did the formality, hey, how are you? Please come into my office. Just take a seat at the table. I'm going to go use the restroom, be right back. Do you want any water? Do you want any pop or soda, as you say here, I've learned? Do you need anything? He's good. Okay. I would, sub note over here on the side, I would have you know that if you ever have seen like a James Bond movie, this guy's from Europe, the coolest accent ever, coolest suit. I mean, if I ever have had, man, that guy looks really cool, envy, forgive me. I mean, very well appointed. I'm giving you superfluous information, but I'm just telling you, this is the scene. I said, go ahead and take a seat. Went to the restroom, came back, and as I walk into my office, I have a table with some chairs, and over here is my family picture of my beautiful bride and my four children. And if this is the picture, he's doing this. And I walk in, I said, thank you, sorry for that. He goes, you got four of them? Young ones? I thought, man, this is going to be fun. This is going to be a blast. So I thought I would, you know, throw the hook out a little bit and see where we were going. So I sat down and I said, they're 2, 6, 9, and 10. And I'm exhausted. And he smiled. He said, yeah, we have one. I said, okay. I said, well, congratulations. And he's a few years older than me. And this, we exchanged formalities. This is very common with Europeans especially. Exchanged some formalities. And somehow, and I'm going to be very careful, I'm not quoting, I'm not paraphrasing, but somehow it turned into, yeah, you know, my wife and I didn't really understand how much it would cramp our style, our lifestyle, our travel. But now we do. I thought, man, where do I go with this? And again, remember my audience. I thought, man, I'm going to really have fun. I looked at him and I said, what's your hope? Because I happened to be working on a message about hope. I said, what's your hope? And boy, you ever seen a dog look at a fan and go, how does that work? I got that. And it was apparent that we weren't going anywhere in the conversation. I said, when you take your last breath and you got a bucket full of money, but Junior's on a one-way ticket to prison or hell, what are you going to do at that point? So I really upped the ante. I just said, I'm going all in. It turned into back and forth, very professional, great conversation. And it turned into this question. He looked at me with the glisten and said, do you have that? Do you have that? And I said, I do. And just a little bit of Jesus came alive in me because I thought, you know, I don't know if I'll ever meet the gentleman again, but I'm going to plant some seeds. And I said, I do. I said, I do. And I think he said something along the lines of how I said, look, I love what I do. I fight hard. I said, but if it ever gets in the way of it, he's never failed me yet. But at the end when he said, do you have that? It really caught me. But then as we concluded the formalities and went to business, he actually said, that would be nice. Two, do you have that? Why did I tell you the story? Why did I belabor it? Because I don't care who you are. Look at Paul and Agrippa. And maybe I need to just get rid of these notes a little bit because I'm in a mess of trouble. Look at Paul and Agrippa. Look at Paul. And I got a whole sermon written somewhere buried on, it's called Keep Testifying. Because it's, he went to Felix, he went to Festus, he went to Agrippa. And all these people, he met everybody who's everybody, all the way to Donald Trump. And he got the, well, you know, come back in a better season. Come back when I'm done organizing my sock drawer, as the wise man up here says. Come back. Are you almost convinced me? He got, I think, from Agrippa. You've almost convinced me to be a Christian. But I'll go back to the notes and say we've got to keep focused on the hope that should be in us, which is the hope of glory. All right, so let me go back to the body. And sometimes I say, hey, we're going to talk about, you know, this topic, and then there are 4 points. I don't have that tonight, so I can't tell you when I'm done. I can't say I'm on point 3 or 4. I apologize. But the perspective is I've given you a little bit of the perspective on how this was built, but some of us have hopes and expectations. Some of us have them, but maybe they're missing the direction. Like I said a little bit ago, maybe they're off of true north. And when you wake up in the morning, your actions and your body of work maybe don't point back to exactly what the book says to do. And so I'm going to go there, but I'm also going to talk about how the hopeless really, really have the ability to find the hope that could be rooted in Jesus. So to start with the body of where I want to go, I want to give some foundation. I would say that if our hope is not rooted in a kingdom-centric, God-first hope, then we have to go back to the drawing board. And we learned a lesson when we first moved down to Springfield. I'm pointing at you. Love you. It was kind of like new members of the church. It was kind of 10 weeks, but it wasn't Search for Truth. And I'll never forget, one of the lessons was living a God-first life or living a kingdom-centric type of life. And really, that's where things have to start. So as I conclude later, we're going to go back to that topic, but I'm going to say you have to start in rooting everything in my focus is around God and doing the right thing for this kingdom. I'm going to start with definitions between hope and faith, like I promised just a few moments ago. And I don't have the charts on it, but the definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen, or a feeling of trust. And while we're doing hope, I'm going to put next to it its partner, faith, because these get tricky, and there's not a test on this later, but faith defined is complete trust or confidence in something or someone, but note the word complete. And then the second definition that was given was a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based upon spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So the second term, faith, is full belief based upon it being a truth. I'm translating. Faith is I believe it and therefore I know it to be true. Whereas hope equals I expect it to happen or to come forward based upon my faith. And I'm not an authority on this. I'm not trying to be. But I really wanted to kind of lay down the groundwork, if you will, because if you really think about hope, it really is the expectation of things to come based upon a faith or based upon a universal truth or based upon a belief. So just to build upon this a little bit more, going back a little bit to faith, it's the belief in something to be a fact such that you have the full foundation without wavering. So we trust in the truth of Jesus for salvation. We have faith in the truth of Jesus for our salvation because it's where? It's in the book. We have faith that if we seek him with all of our might, we will find him. I think we just learned a little bit about that scripture. I think Jeremiah 29 and 13, I believe. We have faith that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Reading it very carefully, we have that faith because it's in the book. We have faith that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have these faiths because they're in the book, and we've lived them, we've consumed them, we've smelled them, we've experienced them. We've shed the tears on this altar. Maybe the world laughs at that faith, but you can't fight and you can't kick against my experience and my testimony. I have faith because of those experiences, because it's in the book, and because the book has come alive. John 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have faith, and here's where I'm going to throw a wrinkle. We have faith that when we flip on a switch, there will be light. Do we? This one's for free. I have that faith. But in some areas, you may have hope. Anybody ever travel? Anybody ever? I have a buddy who's he's the head of the youth for ALJC, and he put the funniest post. I'm not endorsing social media right now. I'm just telling a story. He put a post that said, "Hey, pray for our youth." They were in Kenya on a missions trip, and it said the power outlets are few and the Wi-Fi is spotty. And I about laughed out of my seat because they were in the middle of nowhere in a jungle. They didn't have any power or anything. But back to the notes. In some areas, you may have hope instead of faith that when you flip the switch, the lights are going to come on based upon the infrastructure. Based upon the infrastructure of where you're at, you may have a hope or a dream instead of true faith. This may preach a little bit because how's your infrastructure? How's your repetition? How's your confidence? How's your history? Is it a hope or is it faith? And I'm not preaching on faith tonight, but I'm going to go back to hope just a little bit. One more pivot back to hope. It comes from faith. It's an extension from faith, but it's rooted in an earnest expectation by faith that something will come to pass. So back to, and I'm saying it a second or a third time. Rush Limbaugh does this well. He preaches at a third or fourth grade level, much like Navy submarine manuals are written, so everyone hears it three different ways, and then everybody gets it. The hope is rooted in that faith, that trust, that belief, that expectation that it's coming. And the hope is what you cling to for things to come. We hope to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," based upon the exercise of our faith. And I am in the book here because if it's still up, oh, I don't have that one up, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. I very, very carefully ask the question, why doesn't it say Christ in me, the guarantee of hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? You see, we still all have to cling to the hope based upon the exercise of our faith. We hope to see a crown with our name on it such that we can throw it back on the altar. And I heard a great message on it, I think, at family camp about throwing. The 420 elders cry holy day and night, and they throw their crowns back on the altar. I think I heard it at family camp. You know, you should go to things like family camp. You know, you should go to things like the men's retreat next August the 22nd, next Thursday. I'm getting a shameless plug in here, but when I've taken my vacation, that's very difficult to come by, and I've gone, and I'm not, this isn't about me. Paul said, "I am chief of the sinners." That's me, everybody. And without things like family camp, and without going to NAYC 2 weeks ago, which is a bunch of youth, by the way, old guy dancing, but it's really good because when the music's going, and I go, "Hey, old guy coming through," whoosh, it's like the Red Sea. So if you go to NAYC, you should do those things. But we heard a great message on those that are risen and they preach and they see miracles and they see people, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, but they're so small that they go, "I'm the chief of all the sinners," just like Saul. They're going to throw their crown back on the altar and say, "I'm not worthy of a crown," because only he deserves a crown. You see, Lucifer said, "I'm going to exalt myself above." We're going to throw our crowns back. And if we make it, I'm silly enough to believe that we're going to have that same exact mentality that I got to get rid of this crown, because I can't exalt myself anywhere near him, and I'm not wearing the crown, but I'm getting out in left field a little bit. Let me come back. Faith. I have faith that you're going to hear me tonight. I have hope that you're going to preach with me. And I have hope you're going to respond and be renewed in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, in your actions that point towards your hope. This is my last one, and then I'm gonna get moving. Sorry, you hope that you're gonna make it big one day. You hope that you're gonna find that lake house and retire, and have the Ferrari 458 Italia. You know you're a car guy. I'm a car guy with the exhaust note. Anybody ever heard of Ferrari? I'm being a little bit carnal here, but these are hopes. These are hopes. I apologize for that one, but when you wake up in the morning and every action in an 8, 12, 15-hour day, I'm preaching to me a little bit, Jesus, help me. I might not get a lot of amens with some of this stuff, but I got a word for you. That's how it's going to be tonight. If I'm going to do 10 things today and 9 of them point towards that lake house or that Ferrari, then I got a problem, because my hope is misaligned with my, it's aligned with my actions, but my actions are pointing towards something temporal, something short term. That the two groups I'm trying to talk to a little bit, the first one was the hopeless, the ducks. I'm silly enough to believe that when you hear messages like this and you hear about Christ in you, the hope of glory in you, and you see the action of Acts 2 change people, that group's easy. It's that second group that's got it so good. And we're so affluent in America that we don't need this. And we're going to do 10 things today. I'm just throwing out numbers. Please forgive me. This is just who I am. I got 10 things to do today, and 9.5 of them are for this, this, and this, and that other half, I'm going to maybe go to church. Just like me, some of us in here need to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm doing 10 things today. I probably need to set aside that 30 minutes to pray and that 30 minutes to read the book so that, yeah, I know I've got a life to live and a family to feed, but I can't do 10 things just for that lake house and that Ferrari. Jesus, help us. The second group is really, I think, who I'm preaching to the most, including this guy with very few hairs on his head, so it's easy to number them. Okay, I don't want to bore you with back and forth faith, hope definitions, and like I said, I'm not an authority on it, but I do know every one of us in here could use a boost in our hope department and our alignment of actions as it relates to where our hope is rooted. And I knew nobody was going to say amen to that one. Every single one of us could use a boost in what we're doing pointing towards our hope. Every one of us. Every one of us can use help in redirecting our actions, as I just said. So let's touch a little bit more on some scriptural references going to Hebrews 11. I think most people know the scripture well. It's 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd like to jump into that one and unpack it a little bit, but it's a scripture it's quoted a lot. Titus 2:13 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people zealous of good works. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pivot a little bit towards application. Back to the opening and the scriptures. What is your faith? We're doing a review here. You have faith in Jesus. It's in the book that he died, that he rose again, and that he took the weight of the world, and he took your sin. He took my sin. What is your hope? We know that Christ in us is our hope. We've read a couple of scriptures that say that Jesus is the center, or should be the center of our hope. What is your hope beyond just you? Back to getting the picture. You know, we've got this thing called the Jonathan Project that's just an infant. But a couple few texts with my partner who's running the slides tonight, praying for wives, praying for the wife. Sorry, that sounded plural. Praying for trials in the life really does something to not only say, hey, I've got this hope that I'm going to make it, but you know what? I asked the guys the other night at the Jonathan Project kickoff, I said, how is the guy sitting next to you doing spiritually? And a number of people did the whole, and I'm not coming down. Every one of us at times are in here. We're in the boat. We're focused. What is your hope beyond you? If you got it all together, what's your hope beyond you? It's the family. It's the extended family. It's all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So just this morning early in prayer, I saw something change in me. I saw something released that when I went from praying for seeking God, give me the words to speak, give me the clarity and the careful nature to do the right thing, give me the anointing that you need to move forward to further the kingdom. When I went from praying that to Jesus, I want to see results. I want to see a body that's renewed. I felt something change in me a little bit because it's the hope that my body of work is going to go from that went well to there was a change in the actions of the body, and there was a response to where people said, you know what? I could do more. And it's the hope that I could be used in a way that instead of just getting up here and giving you a book report, you could go, you know what? Okay, maybe 8 things I did today could have been redirected, and I could have read more, I could have prayed more, I could have done that Bible study that we've heard about just about every Sunday up here with those that are close to us. Said differently, we have to picture the results of our body with a renewed hope. And that starts with how I kind of started earlier. When you get the picture of the eternal bliss that we don't even deserve, when you get that picture in your prayer, you start to go to a new place in your application, in your praise, in your fight, in the things you do to walk around and actually help those that are struggling, that are either in category 1, hopeless, or in category 2, they got all kinds of hope, but we need to help them redirect. I've already said this, but I'm going to try and do my best to follow the notes a little bit. My confession is sometimes my hope is too tied to success. Pastor said something 2 or 3 weeks ago, right before we went on vacation here recently. He said something like, you know, one of his stumbling blocks is, and I'm paraphrasing, so please, Pastor, forgive me, but he sees business opportunities and he sees a flaw and he says, I can work that and fix that, and I'm probably doing a bad job, but this is probably a little bit my flaw. I'm all about getting it done, winning, fighting, and, you know, whether it's a soccer game like we played earlier today, and by the way, Kennedy, I won, or whether it's business or whether it's any of these other things, I'm just so competitive, it's a flaw of mine. And that predisposes me to waking up and being in category 2 each and every day. And unless I can check myself and unless you can check yourself with the book and finding some closed doors, a prayer closet, pick what you need, unless you can do that and redirect to say, yes, Christ in me is my hope, you've got a problem. Whatever that stumbling block thing is that will trip you up. For me, it's prioritization of application of my energy, effort, time, talent, treasure. And I need these types of kicks in back here so I can say, hey, you know what? I need to redirect. And again, that's where some of this message was born. My hope is that I'm going to hear well done on that day. Through my trust and my faith in Jesus Christ, that is my strong hope bordering on full faith. And some could say, as I stated a little bit ago, you don't have full faith. I can't. Because as soon as I get the long face like the Pharisees are described, I have some other scriptures I'd like to go to where the Pharisees pray, oh, I thank you that I'm not like those men. I thank you that I'm not a sinner. Oh, I thank you that I'm so holy, high, and lifted. You with me here? My strong hope, my expectation is I'm going to hear well done, good and faithful service, bordering on faith. My hope is that I'm going to see my kids there. That I'm going to dance with these kids on Streets of Gold. My hope is that I'm going to see a glorified version of Kristen there. Don't trip me up here. I know what the book says about marriage. I know what Jesus said to the Pharisee when he said, hey, he takes the next husband. Who is the wife? I know that scripture. I'm not trying to get all outside. But my hope is that I'm going to have some recognition and I'm going to be able to go do the little dance and say, hey, we made it. Okay, maybe she's not my wife. She's not mine. I've been given her as a helpmeet to encourage and trust and lead and push. But if I don't have that hope, and when I'm in the gutter, if I get that hope, guess where I come out of? Anybody ever get that? Anybody ever? There are some of you I'm expecting to see in heaven. You don't have to. I still heard you. I went back to the bathroom, but I kept my plugs in. You don't have to say we're sick of hearing you. 10 years ago, I'm in here because my beautiful, formerly devout Catholic wife said, we're going somewhere and we're going to go to church and we're going to do this thing right. And you open your mouth. I've said it so many times up here. And I said, I want that. It was hope. He gave me hope. I'm going to dance on the Streets of Gold with that guy one day. And if I don't have that hope, Brother Villarreal, I know I've only known you 2 months. Are you ready? Are we going to dance? Pastor? There's a girl. I'm gonna do this story quick, and then I'm gonna try and wrap up. There's a girl when we were the youth pastors, the youth leaders in Springfield, Missouri. I won't use her name, but there was a girl that came to our church maybe a year after we were there, and this is right about when we became the youth leaders, and we had our own church. I mean, it was morning, evening, Wednesday. We had the music. It was a lot. but she was a foster child. I don't know what she had been through. It's not my department. Never asked, don't care, but you just knew. This girl was broken. She was maybe 12, 14. I'm guessing you knew who I'm talking about. I don't know how many weeks it took for her in our what we called surge. It was our Wednesday night church service where we had Holy Ghost fire. It was awesome. But we saw her go from broken home, foster child, to doing the, okay, I'm praising. And I'll never forget when I prayed with her the night she got filled with the Holy Ghost. There are things you cling to. Preaching about hope tonight. I have my hand on her hand, just a little girl, not much taller than Kennedy. I have my hand on her hand and I said, and the angels rejoice right now because they see you stepping over the threshold. And I said, all of heaven cries holy right now because you are laying it all down and you're lifting your hands. And as I saw this little girl go from broken home foster child to being filled with the Holy Ghost, I saw her again a year or two later at a youth conference. Oh, come on. There was a little bit of Jesus in this girl. And I did the whole, I'm going to dance with her on Streets of Gold. You can't argue with the word of my testimony. The book says it, but I'm not going to let you do it. But that type of hope changes us. It changes who we are. It changes our actions. It changes when we wake up what we decide to do. It changes when we see somebody at the altar praying for them instead of thinking, wonder what they did. It's the mercy that they need and the brother to put the hand on the shoulder to say, I'm here with you. We're going to do this thing together and I'm going to dance on the street. Because when you do that, they're lifted. You're lifted. Preaching about hope tonight, because maybe you don't need it. But the person that God nudged you to pray for, they do. They do so bad. I'm gonna wrap it up and close in Ephesians 4. Sorry, I don't have this one pre-printed out. I would love to read more of Ephesians 4, but it's Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. And we learn in 5 that the hope which is laid up for you. He's talking to the church. I think this is what I want you to know. He isn't talking to a bunch of priests and pastors. He's talking to the church. It says he's talking to the saints in Ephesus. He's talking to you, just to be super plain. 5, he talks about the hope which is laid up. 6, it bringeth forth fruit. What brings forth the fruit? That you walk worthy of the Lord. Somebody talked about that a little bit. We need to study to show ourselves approved of the vocation that the Lord has given us. In 11, we learn that we're strengthened with all might. In 12, we should be thankful. And in 14, we by faith have redemption. But I think I want to just pause and read 23. Man, I'm so sorry. And that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, when you have the hope and the desire to be able to walk up to a brother and get the picture that you're going to dance with him on a street of gold, or the little girl, that when you get there, you have a renewal. You have a rejuvenation. And all of those actions that I talked about of the 10 things you got to do, they fall into place. Because when the hope is rooted in that renewal and you say, I'm going to come home, and you put the hands and you lay and you worship, it takes care of itself. Just to close, it starts with this body, which is really what I'm trying to do quickly here with Ephesians 4. I can't give you the 5-step plan like it's an elementary Sunday school class to say, how do you get more hope? I can't do that. But what I can say is it starts with this body. It starts with cutting out the division. It starts with getting yourself right with the word, your prayer, and your empathy for those around you that need that hope that so much you can push into them, preach into them, breathe into them. Get back to the basics. Pray, read, fast. Bring your hopes higher. Cast a higher vision and bring them into your prayer time. Here's the test. If I said write down your top 1 to 3 hopes, what are they? I've already kind of ruined this, but take away everything that's temporary from that 1 to 3. Now tell me how much of that list remains. And this is what I'm trying to get across to that group too. You may have all the hope, you may have everything going right, but when you write down those 1, 2, or 3 things, if they don't align with God first and kingdom-centric thoughts, then let's start over and let's go back and build actions around true hopes that are eternal. We have to calibrate our hopes to the kingdom. We have to calibrate our actions to those hopes. If the musicians want to come, if you want to stand with me, there are some that need hope. There are some that need a renewing in the spirit, and I'm not being judgmental. But I'm preaching to somebody here. I'm preaching to a few people here. There are some that really need hope. You, like I said, you feel like the duck, and there are some that need to renew your hope in Christ. Recalibrate your hope. Recalibrate your priorities that point towards your hope. There are some that need encouragement. There are some that have not yet defined hope. Maybe you're new in the walk and you feel sometimes like a buoy floating in the ocean. And you know, you come to church and you participate, and that's great. But it's been preached here recently, we need to become the church. We don't come to church. We need to become the church. And that will be centered around a strong hope for you and those around you, making it and hearing well done. There are some that completely lack hope. Yesterday evening, praying over this message, tears dripping on my sheet of paper. There are some in here. I'm talking to you. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's the loved one that has not come back, whether it's the spouse. Nothing's going to get you where you need to go but Jesus. Nothing's going to get you where you need to go but Jesus. Here's a guy, I already told you 10 years ago, one-way ticket nowhere. You know, sometimes you may think, oh, he's got his act together. I have no idea what you think, and I do my best to just do the party line, try and teach, try and live the life, be the example, show up, stay away from the division. I don't play that game. But you may not know, in 2012 or 13, I did the Racine Ironman triathlon because I was the mega man and I was going to do everything on my bucket list. And I ended up in the hospital here with 3 pulmonary embolisms in my lungs. Those are blood clots. There's like a 30% chance of death. I had 3. Nothing's going to get me anywhere but Jesus. And I was on blood thinner, blacking out, half dead. I go back to Frederick to a specialist a few months later. They're all gone. They went and looked at my scans. There's nothing there. There's no proof of it. Guys, it wasn't medicine. It was Jesus just giving me some mercy. If your picture of hope is not eternal, then get back to the drawing board. It has to be kingdom-based. I'll open the altar. I'm concluding right here. I've said it twice, but I can't get it out of my mind because it's where I go. Get the picture of dancing on a street of gold with the one next to you. Get that same picture with a loved one that's not here. I'm telling you right now, that takes you places. Takes you places that make you dig deep. Get the picture that's your vision or expectation based upon your faith in Jesus. Now, what's the plan to achieve that? You see, that's the action that takes it from a dream. It takes it from an expectation. It takes it from the definition I talked about, which is, you know, hope is things we expect to happen. But Rome wasn't built in a day. Somebody had to pick up a shovel. And a lot of people said, hey, let's build Rome. But somebody picked up the shovel. And it started with getting the picture of Rome. What's your Rome? At the altar tonight, get yourself truly right and fully right with God. Clean it up. Walk away from it. Lay down your sins and your weights. Again, confirmation already spoken of tonight as we open the service. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You see, the weights are what keep you from acting on your hope.